All right, 33. My burdens roll away. All right. Thank you.
be set upon a foundation that is man-made and will someday pass away. It won't be built where the storms of life can batter, and where those storm clouds often hide the light of day. But the cornerstone of God is my foundation, the root of David, Christ the Lord, our coming King. Oh, what a welcome and homecoming there awaits me. And I'm expecting any day to move right in. Just wait till you see my brand new home. Wait till you see its beauty rare. There's nothing down here that can compare. Just wait till you see.
All right, Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 8, starting at verse 1, Hebrews chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Jesus is a better high priest than Aaron of the Old Testament because he officiates in a better tabernacle. Now, I hope you do remember in the Old Testament, they had a tabernacle. Moses raised it up, and Aaron was the first high priest, and then when he died, his oldest son took over. When he died, his oldest son took over and kept on going all the way until you come to Jesus' time, till you come to Christ. Now, of course, the tabernacle was replaced with Solomon's temple, but they still had the priesthood and the sacrificial system for the sins of the people in the Old Testament, all the way up to the cross. Well, even after the cross, they continued to do the temple worship and sacrifices, and they didn't realize that Jesus Christ had fulfilled it all, and that they ought to put their faith and trust in him and turn their back on the Old Testament way, the Old Covenant way, and the old priesthood, for there was one much better than Aaron, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 8, starting at verse 1 down through verse 5, let's look at these verses. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. I hope you're there at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. I'd like you folks to identify who that high priest is. Who is it? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's who it is. It's not Aaron. It's not one of Aaron's sons. Nope. It's Jesus. Verse 2. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. True tabernacle. What does that say then of the tabernacle of the Old Testament? Verse 3, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man, whom you've already identified as Jesus Christ, that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he. Now the word see is God speaking. God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. And then also verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. So, in this passage, I find that Jesus is a better high priest because he officiates in a better tabernacle. Messiah's tabernacle, a heavenly one, while Aaron's is earthly and merely a type of Messiah's, the Lord Jesus Christ, superior tabernacle. First of all, in verse 1, it says our high priest is in heaven. Look there, it says, we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Go to chapter 1 of Hebrews, chapter 1, and look at verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. It says this, who, in referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, mentioned in verse 2, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So where is my Savior right now? He's at the right hand of the majesty on high. Aaron is not there. That's not where Aaron is. That's not where all of his sons are. Their bodies are in the grave. My Savior, Jesus Christ, is a better high priest because he's in a better tabernacle up there in heaven. Our high priest, Jesus, is in heaven. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. It's not too far from here. Just go to the left a little bit, a few pages, till you get to Philippians chapter 2. And starting at verse 9, I had made reference to this passage this morning, how that Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but left heaven, came down here. In verse 9, after we read that he died the death of the cross, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I need to stop there. Can you see verse 8, the last phrases of verse 8 say, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It says that, right? And now in our verse, it says, God also hath highly exalted him. Folks, this person who in verse 8 dies on the cross, the same person now is up in heaven, highly exalted. That tells me he had to rise up from the grave. I don't know anyone else who has done this but my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, what is your hope in? Or what should I say, who is your hope in? I hope it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope your hope is not in the Pope. I hope your hope is not in the Pope. I hope your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's alive. And he's up in heaven. You know, the popes have come and gone. We got a track back there called The Confusion of the Popes, right, Jim? Don't we have a number of them back there? Pick one up on your way out. The Confusion of the Popes. They don't even know how many popes there were or in what order they were. You better have your hope in someone better than the Pope. You better have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is highly exalted up in heaven. And verse 9 says, and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Folks, this Jesus is alive and well, and someday everybody's going to be bowing the knee to him who already came down to earth, lived among us, died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose up from the grave, and he ascended back into heaven. All that's in these verses we just read there. There's no one else like that. Mm-mm. So your trust for everlasting life, your trust for being able to go to heaven, better be in the Lord Jesus Christ. You better have him as your savior from your sin. And if you don't, you're never going to get there. You're never going to be there. But one of these days, every tongue will confess that Jesus is the rightful Savior and the Lord that he is. Ephesians, you're at Philippians, just go to the left again a little bit more, just a few pages to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. You know, the things we're reading here could never be said about Aaron. These things are being said about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ?" Let me ask you, do you believe? Are you a believer? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope you are. If you're not, then you need to do that tonight, okay? Who believe, it says. Verse 20, "which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." See, you say, why are you reading this? I want you to see Jesus is up in heaven. He's up in heaven. He's not in a temple down here on earth. And by the way, you can't call him down into a temple down here on earth. He's up there in heaven to stay. And I don't care what the Roman Catholic Mass says. When they call Jesus down to enter into the wine and the bread on their altar, their Mass altar, that is not true. He doesn't leave heaven, he's there. And you know why he doesn't have to leave heaven and come back down here? Because he already did the work for salvation. The work is done. And he's sitting in heaven because the work is done. Did you ever have anybody tell you, now you don't sit down till you get that job done? You ever have anybody do that to you? Now you don't sit down till you get that work done. You don't sit down till you clean your room if you're a child, you know? You don't sit down until you, do something. Jesus is sitting down in heaven. You know why? Because his work is done. Salvation is complete. And all you need to do is acknowledge you're the sinner for whom he died and trust him as your Savior, and you will have everlasting life. Because you're trusting in someone who conquered death. He's alive and he's in heaven right now. And you're going to go there too, if you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. All right, back here. Verse 21. I'm in Ephesians 1:21. Far above all principality and power. Not just a little bit above. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named. I can think of some great names. But Jesus is far above all them. How about Gabriel, the archangel? It's a name of somebody great in heaven. How about Michael, the archangel, up there in heaven? How about Moses? He's up there in heaven. Elijah. But you know there's someone greater than all them. How about Daniel? Daniel was a man of prayer. What a great man he was. There's somebody better than Daniel up in heaven. He has a name that's far above all principality and every name that is named. Verse 21, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I like that. You know what? There's a world to come. I'm going into that world one of these days. When I pass from this life into eternity, I'm going to be with the Lord forever in the world to come. In verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. By the way, there's another universal church right there. Body that filleth all in all. He's above everything. He's over everything. He's head over all things to the church. And you need none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our high priest and he is in heaven. Now, back to Hebrews chapter 8. In verse 2, he is our high priest and he ministers in the true tabernacle. Look at there, verse 2. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Now, in the Old Testament, when Moses was given instructions to build a tabernacle, they pitched the tent. They put it up. And when it was time to move, when the Lord wanted the children of Israel to move on, they took the tabernacle down. And then when he said, "This is where I want you to stop," they'd pitch it back up again and they'd put it back up. You know, that tabernacle of the Old Testament was just a foreshadow, was just an example of the true tabernacle up in heaven. And our high priest, Jesus Christ, ministers in the true tabernacle up there in heaven, which the Lord pitched and not man. By the way, this whole matter of being saved through faith in Jesus Christ is something that God has done, not man. Man has not invented this. I don't believe that man would have ever come up with such a plan of salvation. And you know why I say that? Because every plan that I've heard from man so far always has to do with man doing something to merit his way into heaven. That's every religion on the face of this earth, bar none except Bible Christianity. All of the religions of the world have man doing something to make himself worthy to get to heaven. Any religion you can think of. The one that God has made and given to us and told us about says this: you can't do anything to make yourself worthy of heaven. I have to save you, and I will do it by sending my own precious Son into the world to die on the cross for your sins, conquer the grave, which you're all going to. He'll conquer the grave. And then he's going to come back to heaven and minister and intercede for you, and especially for those who believe. I believe. When I was 10 years old, I believed in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And you know what? I have a home in heaven. And I have a Savior who's alive up in heaven. He's there right now in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched. The Lord did this, not man or myself. I don't know, does that make sense? Hope it makes sense a little bit. The Lord pitched this tabernacle, not man. And all the religions of the world have man doing something. Now, verse 3 and 4, our high priest is a heavenly high priest. Heavenly, not earthly. Heavenly. There's a difference, okay? My high priest is heavenly in all of his characteristics and everything. Whereas Aaron, a high priest here on earth, is very earthly. His domain is down here on this earth. My high priest is heavenly. Look at verse 3 now. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man, referring to Jesus, have somewhat also to offer. Now, if the earthly priests that were here on earth, and that would be Aaron, his sons, and the Levites, and all them, their job was to be the priests for Israel, and all the rest of the tribes had to come down to the tabernacle, and there the Levitical priests would offer sacrifices and gifts unto the Lord. The book of Leviticus talks all about the different offerings and the gift offerings and things that the Israelites would bring unto the Lord. But they had to bring them all to the Levites. And eventually it had to go through Aaron, the high priest. It was ordained that those men, those priests here on earth, have gifts and offerings to offer unto the Lord. Well, if Jesus is going to be a high priest, then he has to have some gifts and offerings as well and sacrifices as well. And he does. And it just so happens that it is himself. His own blood. His own body. That he gives as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. You know, Aaron and his sons never, ever did any of them offer themselves as an offering and a sacrifice. They always, well, Mr. Israelite, I see you're here today. Are you here to confess some sins? Yes, I did some things. I broke the law. I haven't been good. All right, so you're confessing those sins? Yes. Where's your sacrifice? We have to have someone pay for your sins. Well, here it is. Or a goat. You know, what do goats do? How do they make it? You know, whatever noise they make. Or an oxen, bring them in. The poor ones, they would bring turtle doves. And there they are flapping their wings and everything, you know. And the priest would take those animals and slay them for the sins of the people. They never offered themselves. Never once did any of the priests say, well, listen, I'll die for you. How about that? And if any had the gall or boldness to say such a thing, the sinner standing in front of them could say, well, how can you die for me when you're a sinner just like me? Mr. Priest, you're a sinner too. You know, they never could say that about the Lord Jesus Christ. Never once. Never once could anybody accuse the Lord of doing something wrong, saying something wrong. And John the Baptist also said this about Jesus. This man is a lamb, and he's going to give himself for the sins of the people. So you come to this true tabernacle, you're going to find there's a high priest there who can take care of your sin problem. Because he never sinned himself. Plus, he has a sacrifice. It's himself. Imagine going down to the temple or the tabernacle as a sinning Israelite one day and going up to the door and find that the priest there is Jesus. And say, yes, I have sinned. I've done some things wrong. Here's my animal sacrifice. And Jesus says, I don't need the animal sacrifice. I'm going to die in your place. Really? Yes. I'm going to die for your sins on the cross. That's why at various times in the Lord's ministry while he was here on earth, when he would heal people, a lot of times he would say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Remember that? Even before he went to the cross, right? Thy sins be forgiven thee. How could he do that? No priest could do that. No priest could do that without a sacrifice. But Jesus said that to people, even though they had no sacrifice. You know why? Because he knew that someday soon he would be paying for their sins. And so if they believed in him, even before he went to the cross, their sins would be forgiven them. You know, there were times when the Pharisees and the Sadducees heard him talk like that. They were ready to pick up stones and stone the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they figured that was blasphemy for any man to say such a thing. Thy sins be forgiven thee. They said only God can forgive sins. Little did they know the God-man was standing right in front of them. And he's able to forgive them of their sins. So this high priest has to have gifts and sacrifices, and my Lord has that. Another thing is that he has a temple to minister in also. Verse 4. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. Now, that is referring to the Old Testament tabernacle that Moses was told to make. And when Moses was told how to build that tabernacle, God made it very clear to Moses, "Moses, I want you to make this tabernacle exactly as I tell you how to make it." It was very, very important. Now, there can be a study on the tabernacle done sometime. I'm not going to do that right now. But I'm going to tell you the whole tabernacle, everything in the tabernacle, even down to the cords that hold the curtains in place and the fence that was around it in place, even the pins that went down into the ground to hold it up and keep it standing, all the furniture that was inside the tabernacle, table of showbread, the candlestick, the altar of incense, the laver, the brazen altar, the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. You know, all those things are a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it was very important that Moses make that tabernacle exactly as God gave it. You know why? Because there was a real tabernacle up in heaven, which that tabernacle on earth was just a shadow of. And my Savior officiates in that tabernacle up in heaven, which the tabernacle of the Old Testament was just a picture of. So I have a better high priest because he is in the real tabernacle up there in heaven, providing the salvation for you and me, which the tabernacle in the Old Testament and the priesthood and the animal sacrifices could never provide eternal salvation for anyone. Only as by faith they trusted in those things which pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ who would come someday. And he, this priest, takes care of us in heaven while Aaron could only care for us on earth. Aaron could only help the people while he was here on earth. My Savior Jesus Christ goes farther than that. He cares for me up there in heaven. And I want that type of a high priest. How about you? Do you want that kind of a high priest? Or do you just want one who lives and dies on this earth? You know, there's a whole host of people who believe that they have a priest in their local parish who intercedes for them, and he only lives 75, 80 years. That's it. Then he dies off like all the rest of the priests do. And when he comes down the street and they see him, they say, "Hi, Father. Hi, Father. Hi, Holy Father." He's just a mere man. Just like anybody else. Don't put your trust in a priest like that. Put your trust in a high priest who is already in a tabernacle up in heaven. That's the true one. And all these edifices that they build, and St. Peter's Basilica over there in Rome, doesn't even come close to what the tabernacle really should be, as in heaven. You know, they built that thing. It took them many years to build that thing, that St. Peter's Basilica. And it's in sort of the configuration of the tabernacle and in the temple. And they have their inner sanctum. You know, they got their really holy, holy place inside there and everything. But it in no way can do what my high priest Jesus Christ does for me in the true tabernacle up in heaven. As far as I'm concerned, it's not good enough for me to have a man in the city of Rome performing all kinds of sacrifices and sacraments and everything for my sin when he's a sinner just like me. And he has no sacrifice. He has to pretend that he's bringing Jesus down from heaven to enter into those things, and that doesn't happen. Because my Savior doesn't leave heaven to come down here. He sits in heaven forever to provide eternal salvation for you and for me. And he takes care of us in heaven, while Aaron can only care for us here on this earth. Moses' tabernacle points all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the last part of verse 5. See, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. The fact that there is a pattern tells me that there is a real thing. The pattern is just an example of the real thing. Now, my wife makes dresses and things like that. And she'll go to the store and get a pattern. It's usually in a little envelope, right? And there's a picture on the front showing you the real thing. And then she opens it up and she pulls out all these crinkly kind of pieces of paper and everything. And she lays it down on the fabric, and then she spends a whole day cutting it out and everything like that. And then she has to put it into the sewing machine and sew it all together. It's just a pattern of the real thing. Now, when she gets it all done, she has something that looks pretty good, like the real thing. Okay, but usually, probably not exactly like the picture on the package. You know, the tabernacle of the Old Testament is just a pattern of the real tabernacle up in heaven, which really matters for your personal salvation. And you better have a high priest that really matters for your personal salvation as well. And I hope you have such a thing as that. Verse 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a, what is the word? Better covenant, which was established upon, what's the next word? Better promises. Oh, you know what? The book of Hebrews is just telling the Jewish Christians in the first century, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you can't do any better. You can't do any better. And let me say for you who are living in 2015 today, you might not be Jewish, but you're Gentile in origin, you can't do any better by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I hope you've done that. That's what the book of Hebrews just constantly puts forth. How much better he is than the Old Testament. I'm glad, folks. I'll show you once again the size of the Old Testament. Look at it. My Bible, that's the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. That's how big the New Testament is. I'm glad I'm not back in here in the Old Testament. I'm glad I'm in this part, the New Covenant, the New Testament. Now, I'm not saying the Old Testament is any good. It had all its reasons for being there to point us to Christ. But this is much better. I like how it's kind of small. Simple. The gospel is simple. It's not complicated. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. He ascended back to heaven and he is alive right now, and he wants to be your Savior, and he can do it, and he'll do it forever if you'll just let him. By faith, trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me ask you a question tonight. If you died tonight, do you know where you're going to go? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? If you don't, then you need to trust in this Jesus. He is better than Aaron and the Old Testament. Better than the law. And it's a salvation which the Lord has pitched, not men. You cannot save yourself. In closing, it's just amazing to me how often I hear people say this to me. As far as I can see, a clear presentation of the gospel has been given to them, and they've been told they can't work their way to heaven, and they need to trust Jesus, who already did the work for them on the cross, was buried, rose again, went to heaven, that I ask them, if you died today, would you go to heaven? They'll say, well, I hope I've done enough. I want to just bang them on their head and say, didn't you hear? You can't do anything to make yourself worthy to go to heaven. Jesus paid it all for you. You've got to stop working and trusting in yourself and trust only in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're listening to me on the internet, you need to understand this. There is nothing you can do to merit salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, how much simpler can it be made? You cannot save yourself. You've got to see you're a sinner on your way to hell and need a Savior. Need someone to save you. That's Jesus. And there's nobody better. No one better. And you need to let him be your Savior. I was looking at one of the songs in here. Let Him In, I think it is. Number 29 in our book we were using here tonight for songs. Let Him In. There's a stranger at the door. Let Him In. You're here tonight not saved and would like help in trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Respond on the invitation hymn as we sing. We'll be standing and singing. Just step out from where you're at. Meet me down at the front. We'll have someone help you get saved tonight. If you're on the internet listening, as you hear us sing this invitation hymn, why don't you right where you're at, the best way you know how, pray, acknowledge to God, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. And I hear tonight that there's someone who can really do the saving for me. Jesus Christ. Let Him be your Savior from sin tonight. Write us, call us, let us know that you got saved. We'd love to help you and send you some things that might help you in your new life in Christ. All right, folks, here, number 29, let's stand and sing. Let Him In. If you need help, come forward. We'll have someone help you. There's a stranger at the door. Let him in. He has been there oft before. Let him in. Let him in ere he is gone. Let him in the Holy One, Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. Let him in. Open now to him your heart. Let him in. If you wait, he will depart. Let him in. Let him in. He is your friend. He your soul will sure defend. He will keep you to the choice. Let him in. He is standing at your door. Joy to you he will restore, and his name you will adore. Let him in. Now admit the heavenly guest. Let him in. He will make for you a feast. Let him in. He will speak your sins forgiven. And when earth ties all are riven, he will take you home to heaven. Let him in.
I'd like to talk to the folks that might be listening on the internet tonight. That we would really like to help you if you need help in the matter of being saved and so forth. But also those of you who do know the Lord as your personal Savior and you enjoy the messages and the ministry of Ray Street Baptist Church, I would encourage you to call friends and people who you might want to help come to know the Lord as Savior. Maybe you're too far away from our church to attend our church. But if you know some people who need to hear the gospel, I would encourage you to tell them to log on to the internet, www.racestreetbaptist.org, and click on the sermons, and you can hear messages that we preach here. Almost every time we preach the message, we're extending the invitation for folks to come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. And so maybe you can help someone else get saved. If you need help on that or whatever, just call in or email us, and we'll be glad to help you. The folks here are just glad to be able to sponsor the internet and the sermons on the internet, and we want to keep on doing it till the Lord comes back. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the time spent together here. Help us to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none better than He. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.